ॐ भगवत्सत्त्वेकम् अशेषक्लेशसंशयम् आविष्कृतं न कृष्णानम् किमन्यद् अनुकम्पितम्
by your lordship to but etat this ashesha unlimited klesha miseries sankshayam which dissipates avishkritam revealed na of us klishtanam who are suffering from material conditions. Kim anyat, what to speak of. Anukampitam, those to whom you are always favorably disposed. Translation. Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. To deliver us from these material conditions of material miserable conditions, you have invented yourself in this transcendental form. This is evidence of your unlimited causeless mercy upon those of us who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always so favorably disposed? Purport. When the Lord appears in his original form, he acts to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, Bhagavad Gita 4.8. Although he annihilates the demons, he nonetheless benefits them. It is said that all the living entities who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original constitutional position, Sarup, because they had the chance to see Krishna face to face, riding in the chariot of Arjuna. On the battlefield of Kukshetra, superficially two things were going on. The demons were being killed and the devotee Arjuna was being protected. However, the results are the same for everyone. Thus it is said that the appearance of the Lord diminishes all kinds of miserable conditions caused by material existence. It is clearly stated in this verse that this form, Asesha Klesha Shankshayam, is meant to diminish all the miserable conditions experienced in life, not only by the devotees, but by all others. Avishkritam na klishtanam. The Prachetas identified themselves as common men. Kim anyad anukampitam. The devotees are always favorably accepted by the Lord. The Lord shows all mercy not only to conditioned souls, but also to the devotees, who are already liberated due to their devotional service. The form of the Lord as worshipped in the temples is called Archavigraha, or Archavatara, the worshipable form, the deity incarnation. This facility is offered to neophyte devotees so they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of archa. Although through such facilities, the neophytes gradually invoke their original Krishna consciousness. Deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. All neophytes must therefore engage in the worship of the Lord by keeping the Archavigraha, Archavatara, at home or in the temple. So, the principle is that when something is connected to the Lord, it becomes special, it becomes valuable. When it's not in connection to the Lord, then it doesn't have a value. We place a value on it, right? We'll sit there and place a value. Just like the animals will place a value on, like you see the cows are out, there's a field of grass, but they go to a specific spot because they consider that part of the grass is better than another part. But we'll look at it, it's just grass. So the thing is the material world, we make the distinctions that this is good, that's not, because we're placing ourselves as the center. So here then the Prachetas are pointing out, when Krishna is made the center, then everything is auspicious, everything is good. Therefore, the benediction that Arjuna is getting, the benediction that the other warriors on the battlefield are getting, it's all auspicious because it's all connected to the Lord. Right? Arjuna is seeing the Lord and rendering service, and the others are seeing the Lord and in dying in the battlefield, then they attain Vaikuntha. So everybody's being benefited. So the idea is that what's in connection with the Lord is auspicious, and what's not connected to the Lord is inauspicious. Right? We then define within inauspicious, okay, what's better inauspicious, what's less better inauspicious, and what's just downright bad inauspicious. Right? But that's us. It's not a reality. Because just as anything connected to the Lord is auspicious and takes you back to Godhead, anything in the material world keeps you here, whether it's really nice or not. You know, it's just like if you're in the prison for, you know, the guys that mess up in the office, right? Like that. So they have a little prison there. It looks like a kind of a two-story, it looks like a school, actually. You know, and it's surrounded by these, these net fences, you know, like that. And they play basketball in there and they talk business and what they would do if they're not there. You know, or you have the hardened criminals where you have all the walls and the barbed wire and everything else like that. So this is what one's choosing. Well, this is a nicer one. They have a better library. It's better stocked. So the food's better. Or, you know, the association's a little nicer. So therefore, it's a better prison. But the point is yes, it may be better as a prison, but it's still a prison. So the material world keeps us here. And the niceties, if they're not connected to the Lord, are nothing special. Because it's just a matter of time. Think about it. The soul is eternal. So we're identifying with the body, so we're looking at the short term. You know, whatever the length of the body, how long it lasts, how long you can get some gain something from it. So then based on that, we'll be making an endeavor. But in actuality, it's just another temporary endeavor. Right? Just like, now for the animal, eating one blade of grass at a time all day seems like a good engagement. Right? And it seems to work out because sometimes they even sit down, so they're not eating. So it does work out, you know, in 12 hours of daylight, then, you know, quite a bit of it, they can sit down eating one blade of grass at a time, right? Or a bird's eating one grain at a time. Could you imagine how long it would take lunch to eat one grain of rice at a time? Right? Does that make sense? You know, so like that. So we'll say that's a waste of time because it's just so, you take one grain, what do you get? So that's the whole point. This body is a temporary, it's a blip on eternity. What does one get? One identifies with it, so therefore we say, no, it's a value. So the Pachetas are saying is that, therefore we, as conditioned souls, we prefer the miserable condition because it's a known miserable condition. It's our miserable condition. You know? Like, you know, yeah, my husband's an idiot. Yeah, you know, he's a real idiot. Hey, wait, you can't say that. He's my idiot, you know? You know, you can't call him an idiot. Does that make sense? Right, yeah. So the point is it's just within the mundane. We know it's bad, but it's our bad. You know? I'm living in this run-down part of town, but it's our slum, you know? Like that. Does this make sense? So it doesn't matter what it is, but it's ours. You know, we're thinking how difficult it is. I mean, so you look at it in the animal kingdom. We read about when the British were leaving India. Then big British guy, then he had two dogs, you know, same kind of dog, whatever it is. And so then when they're leaving, because they couldn't, somehow or another, the passage, they couldn't take the dogs back to England. So then they considered that their dogs won't get proper treatment, right? The treatment they deserve, you know, by a good, upstanding British gentleman, right? If you leave the dog here, then the savages, how they'll take care, you know, or maybe by this time, because they've had some British associates, they'd be heathens now, okay. So the heathens wouldn't be able to take care, or let's say, okay, we'll be more politically correct here, the natives, okay. So the natives wouldn't take care in a nice way, right. So then what was his solution? He shot the dogs, because, you know, it would naturally, the dogs would be much better off dead than being, you know, not getting the treatment they deserved, right. But if you asked the dogs, they would have been quite happy with the less standard and being still alive, right? Does that make sense? So this is the point, is that even though it's not ideal, we have people that we think, oh, I'd like to be like that, rich like that, powerful like that, or position like that, or their health, or their beauty, or, you know, influence, whatever it is, their possessions, but we don't have that. But we're still quite happy because they would think, well, if I didn't have all this, I'd die. I'd rather be dead, right? But we don't think like that. We don't think I'd rather be dead. We think, no, okay, you know, life goes on. Does this make sense? So no matter how much you reduce it, the living entity is okay with it. You know, it'd be ideal, yes, something else would be better, but it's okay, right? It's better than a hole in the head, right? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So he's pointing out is that, so we're comfortable with this. It's funny, one stops, the next one starts. It's like, I guess maybe it's a rule. One of them has to be making noise. So it's like, and that one's saying to this one, I'm sorry, you know, I can't do it. They turned me off. What can I do? You know, like that. So you have to do it. Okay. Yeah, not so bad. Yeah. Could be worse. Could be no electricity, right? Nothing like that, yeah. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that this, it's seen as a good quality that one is, you know, a bit stoic about things and one is, you know, okay, tolerant and everything. But its basis, even though the quality is good to be detached or be tolerant or be humble, those qualities are good because they're Krishna's qualities, but they're being applied to ourself only, leaving Krishna out. So they have no real glory. But within the material world, because those qualities are useful in Krishna's service, they're natural in Krishna's service, therefore the Shastras glorify them. But they're only glorified because of their usefulness in connection with the Lord. They're not glorified on their own, but we'll glorify them on their own because of their connection with us, right? In other words, the quality must be connected to the person. Now it's just a matter of the person's God or the person's us. That's all. Because we're not, we are, even though we're Brahman, but we're conscious Brahman. We're personal Brahman. So that means always these aspects of Brahman, or the qualities, have to be applied personally. So either we'll apply it to God or apply it to ourselves. Because even a Mayavadi will say, no, he's just an impersonalist. But he's the person who's being an impersonalist. You understand? The individual is being the, because otherwise, then if it was all Brahman, then one would think like that, they'd all go like that, right? You know, everybody's somebody's dream, like that, you know, but the point is then where's the end? But that still means there's one person with the dream. You know, it's still, there's a person. So they can't leave the person out. Does this make sense? So this is the choice. Who's the person? Is the person God or is the person us? Right? Fortunately, in our philosophy, you can accommodate both. Right? But we have to know that us as a person are in connection and submission to God as a person. Because everything we're looking for is coming from Him. It's not coming from somewhere else. It's not coming from us. Our happiness doesn't come from us. Our happiness comes from God. Right? One can be satisfied that I'm the soul, I'm not the body, so that transcendental platform. But it doesn't bring bliss. Sat is not known as bliss. It's just satisfaction. Right? Does that make sense? Happiness means there's an interaction and the results gained. You call that, if it's the results you wanted, you call it happiness. Satisfaction means you're comfortable in the situation you're in. Such situation. So if you're satisfied in the situation of being the soul, then you're satisfied. But bliss is dynamic. Bliss means interaction. So that means that bliss is coming from somewhere else. Does that make sense? Because we're part and parcel of God, so it's not we're generating our own bliss. No, but being, having bliss, therefore you can relate to the supreme bliss. Does that make sense? You have to have some quality, like metal can conduct electricity because there's something common, but wood can't. Right? So because we have bliss as part of our constitution, therefore we can appreciate the unlimited bliss of the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? Right? So the material world means we're getting that bliss filtered through, one you're starting off with one millionth of a millionth portion of a bliss unit here, transcendental bliss unit. So then, on that one millionth of a millionth part of the Lord's potency is the whole material creation. Right? Not just not just my little world as I know it. No, the whole material creation, which is unlimited universes. I mean, unlimited. So then you can, you know, work out the math. Unlimited, so we're one universe out of unlimited. Then we're one planetary system out of 14. On the one we're on, we're one island of seven. And of that, we're only on the southern part. We're only seeing part, right? And then within that part that we call the whole world, we have our little world with our few friends. So you do the math, how much bliss we're talking about here. So that's what the Lord's bliss, His potency, is being filtered through all this. We're coming in contact with this and going, whoopee. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So now, imagine if it's direct, where you're not dealing with a millionth of a millionth of a millionth of a millionth of a millionth. You're dealing directly with the Supreme Lord Himself. So that's what it is here. Now, why is this an important thing to discuss? Right? The example is given of the inchworm. The inchworm only picks up the back leg when the front leg is secure. Right? Now, we're jivas, we're shakti. That means we're dependent. So we're not going to give up something that's secure, even though not very ideal. You know what I'm saying? It's not an ideal situation. This body and the situation that we're in is not ideal. But it's something. We have it. Right? So therefore, then only if we're super impressed by something greater are we going to let go of this to grab that. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. Okay. Someone is sitting on the ledge on, let's say, the second or third floor of a building. The building's on fire, right? So you can't go in the building. And you're on the ledge, but the ledge is secure, right? You're not falling off. Now there's a bunch of firemen down there and they have a net or something like that. They're telling you to jump. But it's in, you're not secure in that, because you don't know what will be the experience, what will be the effect. But if they're convincing enough, one, of just how if you stay there long enough, then it's not going to work out really well, right? And two, is that then you'll be safe. There's all these people, they're professionals, they know what to do, you can trust them, right? Right? So then you jump. Yes? No. Okay, so that's the point. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole idea is that the material world, we're conditioned to it, we're used to it. So therefore, Krishna comes and does his wonderful pastimes so that we're willing to give up this, you know, inferior, comfortable position. That we're willing to take that risk for something greater. Because you have to, it means you'll take a risk, you'll endeavor, only if you see the value in it, when it becomes a need. Right? You hear about it, okay, that's knowledge. And by association and hearing about it, contemplating it, then at some point you get, okay, that sounds interesting. Right? But then you still don't act. When now by contemplating it and by association, that interest turns into a need. Something you have to have, then you act. So that's why the constant hearing and chanting of the Lord's glories in the association of devotees, that's what's going to create need. And when there's need, then you will act. Then we will give up the material conditioning and accept the spiritual. But it won't happen till it's a need. It's just, yeah, Krishna consciousness is nice and this and that and, you know, it's nice we have here, and you know, we have our family, and we have a schedule, and you know, we go to the temple, and we do this and that, and we go on vacation to Vrindavan, and you know, it's nice, it's great, you know, and you know, now and again we go to Calcutta, and we go on to the shopping thing, we stay in the hotel there, it's great, you know, stay up till 1 o'clock watching the movies, and we get to wear all our karmic clothes, because we can't wear them around here, you know, it's not looked upon, right? You know, and so, you know, all this, and we can eat in all the funny places, and you know, we have a good time, you know, but, you know, when we come back to Mayapur, we have our schedule like that, we're serious. You know, you understand? So where's the need to go back to Godhead? Because we're comfortable in what's going on here, though it's connected to Krishna, but it's a desire. Krishna consciousness is a desire, but when it becomes a need, then it will become dynamic. Then we're going to work very hard for it. Does that make sense? Right? Because Haridas Thakur is sitting there and he's chanting his rounds. And you have Maya Devi herself, right? She is the total, one quarter of the cosmic creation, right? You don't have just one girl sitting there who happens to be one face in unlimited, you know, faces within the material creation. Here is the face, right? You know, it's just like you have the face of the material world, Maya Devi, right? You know, she gets paid well, right? You know, she does well. So Maya is there. She's sitting there. Now, the point is if it's only desire to be Krishna conscious, then here's also something, some opportunity, right? You're chanting to be happy, and Maya Devi could certainly make you happy. So, but why isn't he choosing? Because his need is not within the material, it's within the spiritual. His need is to see Krishna, associate with Krishna. So therefore, he's chanting. And Maya's sitting there. He's nice with Maya, you know, gives her a place. You just wait. No, don't worry. That when I finish my rounds, and so, one, she'll fall asleep. Two, morning will come, she'll go away. And three, you know, it's that she'll hear the holy name and be purified. Does that make sense? So the thing is it's, there's no, it's not a matter of, we're not, the family's not there, we're not following our schedule, we're not doing these things. It's that the need is Krishna. Not the need is something within the material. Right? You deal with the material as necessary, but that's not the need. That's just what you do. Right? If you cook, you have to, you know, clean the kitchen. You have to go to the market. You have to make some plans. You have to actually cut things up and put things in pots and push them around. Right? And then afterwards, you got to clean the dishes. Right? So it's just stuff you do. Does that make sense? It's not like the ecstasy. You're just, your hairs stand on end, you know, when you go down to Nimai's shop or something. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's not just rolling on the ground and ecstasy. It's just something you do. So therefore, dealing with the material world, dealing with the material, you know, what is the natural functions of the world, you know, on the religious, economic, social, sensual platforms, that it's just done, because that's just what has to be done. But the focus, the need, is Krishna. Does that make sense? So this is the element the Pujetas are pointing out. So that in here in specific, then Krishna is saying that not only the pastimes, he becomes the deity, because then the devotees see, here is Krishna. Right? The gopis are walking throughout Vrindavan, seeing Krishna everywhere, seeing everything related to Krishna. So at least we'll walk around and see, not necessarily like that, but when we come to the temple, then we'll see things in relation to Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? So, the idea then is, this is the Lord's kindness, that He is allowing us to have His association, to gain cultivate that need, cultivate that desire, so that we want Krishna consciousness. We want to be in the association of devotees. Right? That's the source. So that is the Lord's mercy. So that's why then all devotees then should be engaged in this deity worship. Any questions or comments? Yes. Okay. Oh yeah, deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. Okay, facility is offered so they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer respectful obeisances. Through such facilities, they gradually invoke. So it means it's just a general comment, or? Oh, it means here is the temple worship. Now, why would temple worship as opposed to necessarily home worship? Because we could say home worship, you know, it's my deity, I can get more involved, that more personal interaction. You know, that does have that aspect. But at the same time, what if you don't feel like it? then what? Does that make sense? So the point is, the temple worship goes on despite our mood. Right? If it's at home, then I might not get up for Mangal Arati because I don't feel good. But if it's the temple, this arati is going on anyway. So I might, there's more of a chance I'll go. That makes sense? So for the temple, because it's regularly there, I will take part more. It's a bigger, grander affair, so more people can be involved. I can associate with devotees. At home, okay, it's me and the Lord. But the point is that it's Krishna surrounded by, you know, so many loving devotees. So the temple gives that more of that environment, like the Lord's pastimes. It's there. But it's still, that association is important. Right? The Goswamis had their personal deities, but when you hear about pastimes, how many pastimes are about the deities and how many are about associating with the other Goswamis? Understand? So the point is the association of devotees is how you're going to get inspired to worship the deity, to chant his name, to do all these activities. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Means there's a saying, youth is wasted on the young, right?
Another question I have is, we heard sometimes that the second generation, they don't need to take initiative because they're born in a movement.
But who's spreading this rumor?
This is right.
Okay, so now is it also they don't have to follow the regulative principles also? It's because they're born in the movement? One has to understand that there is a... What's the question? Okay, the question is, how can the second generation become Krishna conscious? And the second question with connected to that was, it has been heard that the second generation doesn't have to take initiation because they've been born in the family of devotees. Okay? Now, there is a very popular philosophy where just by being born in the family of devotees, then you're automatically a pure devotee. So you're automatically a guru. Like that. It's known by Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives them, you know, he gives the definition, they're called caste Goswamis. And they're known as an Upasampradaya. So anytime you hear this philosophy, no, that's an Upasampradaya. It's not coming from the Gaudiya line. I mean, it's not from the pure Vaishnava line. That's coming from lines that are not connected with actual Krishna consciousness. You know, they may have at one point time been, you know, just like the parents are, but it's not that whoever's coming up with these. Because the point is initiation means you're connected. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the distinction between Samanya, or ordinary devotee, and Sampradayak, or one who's a committed devotee, right? So, and examples of Samanya, ordinary, is those born in the family of devotees and Goswami families, Brahmin families, religious families, you know, all these pious births. So that's ordinary because the parents are worshiping Vishnu, and they take part in the programs because the family's doing it. If the families were, you know, Christians, they'd be doing that. If they were Muslims, they'd be doing that. They happen to be Vaishnavas, so they're doing that. That's why they're called ordinary. You know what I'm saying? They're chanting Hare Krishna because others are chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, they'd be chanting something else. You know what I'm saying? So it's just by the association. That's why association is so important. So now, if they're in their own consciousness, their own mind, they make that commitment. That's when now we say, now they're getting serious on the path to become Sampradayak. But then initiation is important, because initiation means you accept the the principle of following the devotees of the devotee of Krishna. Because a direct connection with Krishna doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? You can apply that on Brajbasis, they're in another category. Those born in the Dham, like that, that are outside the, you know, Rupa Goswami's mission. They're in another category, you don't worry about them. You know, their example doesn't apply to us. That Lord Chaitanya made very clear to Sanatan Goswami. Right? So that means that includes us. You know, we're less qualified than Sanatan. So Sanatan, you know, who's the Diksha Guru for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, is not qualified. Then why would we be? Right? So they have their own system, so you don't worry about that. It's not, that's not, so we can't say, well, they're Brajbasis, they're born in Vrindavan, so our devotees have that. No, it's different. So, therefore, the initiation is important. And what does that do? That affords that serious association. So association is what's going to make any generation, you know, how you say, serious. I mean, why is the first generation serious? It's by association. So the second's the same, third's the same, fourth's the same. It's not going to be any different. So that one is, let's say one is born into an educated family. So there's a better chance of you getting educated because the value is there, the facilities are there. You're exposed to the educated mentality much earlier. So then schooling will be comfortable for you. But you're not, you can't say that you're a professor like your parents until you've finished your degrees. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you share. Like that. So until you do it, it's not done. You know? And just because you did it last life doesn't mean, oh, yeah, great. You know, just like, yeah, he was a millionaire before, like that, yeah, but why is he standing in the soup line here with me? No, but he was a millionaire, so you should let him go in front. It's like kind of like, no, I didn't have any money. I'm still here. He had money, and now he's here. He should go to the back of the line. He's an idiot. Right? You know? Does that make sense? So the point is if one's going to go through all the thing to waste time simply worrying about, you know, one's little prestige and sex and, you know, anything else that you can kind of put together for a little bit of fun, then that's pretty much a waste of time, you know. It's a real waste of time. So it's not a glory. Glory is as if you're taking it seriously. But if you're not taking it seriously, just as Prabhupada mentioned to Guru Kripa, you're just another face in the crowd. Everybody, all the boys and girls of the world are running after each other. They're all doing it. So what's special? You know, what did you do that rates special? I mean, you're hanging out in the temple, making some attraction, this, that, or checking out the girls, or whatever it is, but is it coming on the front of some magazine? Is Cosmos running an article on it? Or, you know, I mean, who cares? So it's not something special. For us it's special, but then the Prabhupada says the poor person is proud of his penny. It's important to him, but someone else is a penny? Yeah, what are you going to do with that? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is one has to wake up. Yes, it is a better situation. It's a way better, unlimitedly better situation than being first generation. Because you don't have so much samskaras deal with. You know, in other words, you're going to interpret your information based on your samskaras. And you're going to make a decision based on your identity. Now, for the second generation, devotee is the identity. But what kind of devotee? Kind of just, you know, cool cat hanging out devotee? You know, it means how long is, you know, his point is it's like this. Cool means, okay, means you have a little bit of an identity, you know, you have an idea of what you want. So it looks like there's potential. No? Right. But the girl's not interested in that particular stupid identity. She's looking for the potential to domesticate it in the way that'll be valuable to, you know, relationship. No? Yeah? Yeah. So therefore, then all that endeavor is a waste if you don't have the quality and the worth and the skills to actually perform within the material sphere. You know, so if you don't know how to be a person and relate to a person, it doesn't matter what other elements you have. So if you haven't developed as a person, you won't even make it in the material world. You know what I'm saying? And that's just your karma. So the point is, you're born in a family of devotees. It doesn't mean you have good karma as far as all this stuff goes. So if you want to depend upon your mundane, good luck. So you have to take it that, no, I have to take this seriously and use the value of what I have. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like that example of that Levi guy, right? He has a boatload of you know, blue denim sailcloth. You make sails out of it. And he has a bunch of rivets. And he's a tailor. So what does he do? He rivets some pants together and sells it to the all the local guys who are rough and ready, and they think it's great because they don't rip like the other pants. You understand? Now, what if, you know, so that the point is if you're born in a family of devotees, what do you have? You're born in the family of devotees, you're here in the Dham, so what are your assets to take advantage of? It's not Harvard. It's the other side of the planet. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the association of the Vaishnavas. That's. So the individual themselves has to be thoughtful. It means if they're not thoughtful, what can you do? At the same time, is they have to have good association. And association means that there's whatever they're associating with, and now the predominance is first generation, that they're serious. Right? So in other words, if the first generation is doing all the same things, then why think it's strange that the second generation is also doing that? They're just doing what the first is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is it all boils down to association. You have good association, you'll do nicely. You don't have good association, you won't. So one is you have to look for good association, but two is everybody should be good association. You know? Does that make sense? Because being attractive is not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. You know what I'm saying? You take the model, it doesn't matter what they wear, it looks good. You want to wear that. But you take an ordinary person, you put any of that on them, and you're not interested. You understand? So therefore it's thought what you wear, your tattoo, your this, your that, you know, all these different things, that's what makes you cool. That doesn't make you cool. What makes you cool is what you do with it. So the point is Vaishnavism, you don't require all that. Vaishnavs are naturally cool. Right? Because they have Krishna. No one's more cool than Krishna, right? Does that make sense? Right? I think that was the term used when the it was coined by African Americans when they went up north to Chicago. And they saw the guys, I think it was the, you know, it would have been the pre-mafioso kind of group. And, you know, in their suits and everything, and they would look very, very sober as they stand around, right? Because one, they're either going to, you know, blow somebody's head off, or they don't want theirs to be blown off. So you have to be, you know, quite sober. Right? And so they consider, because the aura was very cool, right? You know, just, you know, cold and, you know, like sober. So they said that they were cool and they dressed nicely, you know? So they dressed well and they were, and they, you couldn't tell what they were thinking. So these are two qualities of Krishna. He's the best dresser, even better than those guys, right? And you can't tell, he's so sober, you can't tell what he's thinking. So there's no one more cool than Krishna. So the Vaishnavas connected to Krishna, naturally they become cool. That makes sense? Yes. Yes.
So you mentioned a lot of good association, but also as individuals can have a different idea of what good association is. Can you clarify?
What is good is okay. Okay, because it's good association, but there can be so many ideas of what good association. So how do we clarify? What Rupa Goswami says is good association. That's good association. Everything else is cheating. Like that. Because it means if one doesn't have good qualities, but one presents oneself as good qualities, or something that's not a good quality, and make up a philosophy and say it is, that's within the conditioning. That's the cheating propensity. Right? We made a mistake because we think that's actually a value, and due to, because of illusion. And that's because we're pulling information from imperfect senses. Right? So that's why we have to hear from authorities what actually is valuable, what's good. Like that. And as we see, as Rupa Goswami gives in the Upadeshamrita, it's nothing to do with the bodily element. It's to do with the proper mood. Now, and then one would say, so therefore it doesn't matter what you do with the body. But the problem is the body follows, the gross follows the subtle. So if the body's engaged in nonsense, then you know the subtle body's engaged in nonsense. And if the subtle body's engaged in nonsense, that means the consciousness is in nonsense. Does that make sense? So it's not going to work that, oh, it doesn't matter the external. The external is a symptom of the consciousness. Does that make sense? So that's why there's recommended activities and dress and language and behavior and etiquette, all these things are there, so that even if it's not a good day and you don't feel like it, at least you're following the externals that won't bother the rest of the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? So good association means someone who's interested in pure devotional service. So that means activities that are favorable to Krishna for his pleasure, free from karma and jnana. So someone who is on that platform, or someone who is valuing and endeavoring for that platform, that's your good association. Everything else, then, you know, be nice. But you don't need to get close. Is that okay? Yes.
Thank you for that hilarious presentation. You talked a lot about the desire, and you illustrated a lot of good examples about, like, you know, so what you call it, the first video that you set out, Shane and Patel in Calcutta, you know, follow your schedule. And then you talk about this, about the need, right? Unless the desire converts into a need, you don't kind of jump it, right? So to me, it seems that, like, you know, a desire can convert into a need only when, you know, like, for example, you run out of money, or there's some circumstances around your life that forces you to become, you know, kind of dependent.
Means the material circumstances, questions about if the material circumstances means, okay, we want to convert desire into need of Krishna consciousness, but then the question is how important is material facilities for, as a catalyst to take need, to a desire to need? Basically zero. Sudama Brahma didn't have any money, and he was nicely Krishna conscious. And after he had money, he was still Krishna conscious. You understand? So money facility doesn't have anything to do with it. No? You understand? Because you're talking about a relationship. You're talking about affection here. Affection's not based on having facility. No? Is it? Like, just like you're from Calcutta, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, I just give the...
Okay, you just... Okay, but you're from Calcutta?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, there are parts of Calcutta where you would have something that is known in Bengali as a busty, right? Okay? Now, that busty is generally a piece of plastic, and if it's really a good one, there's a tire on top to make sure the plastic doesn't blow away, right? Yes? No? Yes, okay. How much facility is there? Not a whole lot, right? Okay, but now if you look underneath that piece of plastic, what do you see? What are you going to see?
Air.
Air, okay, but is there... Why, okay, let's take another approach. Why is that piece of plastic there?
Because
just it blew out of somebody's window and happened to land there, and then a car came along and had a crash, so the tire went bouncing down the street and landed on top, and now because of the tires there, it didn't blow away, so it's been sitting there for the last 9 months. Is that why it's there? Why is it there? I didn't find any utility elsewhere. So that means you have money because your money didn't find utility elsewhere. Is that what you're meaning? Or your wife is with you because she didn't find any utility elsewhere. Is that how it works? Okay, let's try a more direct approach, okay? We'll throw you a bone here, okay? There's a family living under that piece of plastic, right? There's a husband, there's a wife, and there's a million kids, right? There may even be relatives. No? Do they have affection for each other? Okay, but they don't have money. So if they can have affection without money, why can't we have affection for God even though we don't have money? You understand? Point is, you know, India is popular. When you get old and you can't make money, then you can surrender to God. So that means you don't need the money to surrender to God. You understand? So you can surrender now. Shocking, but logical. Yeah? Okay, this will have to compute for some while, yes? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Wow, okay, yes. 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 It means because the word thing, the problem is in English you don't have a great, when it comes to these kind of things, there isn't a great vocabulary. Poetics are very nice, but very specific, definitive words. In your general category, there aren't so much, especially philosophical or the elements of the feeling and all that, you know. It means the old man stumps along. Okay, they have nice words for that, but, you know, exact those feelings of, like most people, if you say desire and need, they don't understand the difference, or attachment and desire, they don't see the difference, but they're two actual positions, right? You walk down the street and you look at all the windows there, there's desire, but you don't walk in the door. You only walk in if there's need. So endeavor only happens when there's need. Endeavor doesn't happen when there's desire. But until the desire, need is mature desire, right? And desire only comes because when you understand the value. So that means you have knowledge, right? Does that make sense? You see a bag. Your friend's got a bag. It looks nice. You know, it's okay bag, just like all the other bags she has, right? But then she says, no, this is Gucci. Oh, now you got to have it. Right? What changed? It's the same bag, looks the same, same utility, but now the knowledge has been added. So it increases desire. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go in, they all these things, it has to do that. They have to say something about it. You know, it's from this little valley and this part of France and this, and then these monks got together and they did this and that and they won this award. Then you got to have it. Otherwise, it's just like anything else. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that information fuels desire. And contemplation of desire creates need. And need creates endeavor. Right? It's right there in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, by contemplating the objects of the senses, you develop attachment. So need and attachment are the same thing. We generally don't put those together either. Right? He's attached to his family. Why? Because he needs his family. You know, someone like the kid is not attached to money because he doesn't need it, right? Give him $100 bill, and you know, he puts it down or makes it a backdrop for something, and you know, it's like that. You know, Barbie and Ken, you know, it's a nice table for them. Or it's a nice rug, Persian rug for Barbie and Ken, right? You know, you understand? It doesn't mean anything, you know. But they could put anything else there. They found a handkerchief. You know, it's got more colors. Right? That's only green. You know, this has nice colors embroidered. Ah, that's more important. Move the dollar aside. You understand? There's no need, therefore there's no attachment. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the association, if you associate with those who have that need, then you develop it. Right? That's the key. That's why the Lord comes with his associates. Otherwise he'd just come himself. But it's important you're attracted to his pastimes, but you're attracted to his pastimes through the interaction of the devotees. You know, it's just Krishna standing there, okay, but it's the gopis are attracted, Mother Jashoda is attracted, the cowherd boys are attracted, how they interact, that's what we get attracted to. Because Krishna is all attractive, but how will you express that attraction unless it's through the moods that those who are attracted to him have. That's why the association of the devotees, out of anything in devotional service, is the most important. Even chanting the holy name, hearing Bhakti, that's because of devotees. The worship of the deity, the devotees. You understand? The Dham is special because the devotees are there. Otherwise, the Bhagavatam says, you go to a holy place just to take bath and don't associate with the devotees, the cows are getting that benefit. The cow is living in the Dham, eats the grass of the Dham, drinks the Ganga water. It's not going to get benefit, of course. But it's no more benefit you're getting than the cow's already getting. You know what I'm saying? If you just come here, hang out, eat something to go away, the dogs are getting that benefit. The birds, they're all getting that benefit. But the special is associate with the devotees. That's what makes it special. So the association of the devotees is the one single thing that makes Krishna consciousness dynamic. And that is the major way to tell the difference in one's advancement, how much you value devotees. You don't value, you criticize, then you're beginning.
And then it just goes off.